were in such a fashion that they would summarize what they have learned since then. Is after one report came next one, and they had some supplementary information to clarify issue of the previous report, they would be continuously rolling one over another. That's where there is that tremendous repetition in the author's book, because the information is quoted from different sources.
Yeah,
okay. So I once more underline that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have had also information received from inside the camp that in charge of the group, scientific group in there, is Professor Schmidt. They have had the information that inside they have 12 rainforest pads, either protective pads against anti-aircraft. The well, I don't think that my details would not go in the far.
No,
so if you stop for a second now, don't do that.
This is really the first eyewitness report. Some of the of the features of the first report.
The eyewitness under the cryptonym Ure, who has witnessed first explosion, which took place in the afternoon and from the direction of Blizner, he has seen and heard a tremendous rumor and explosion. The rumor was approaching in the direction of his home. Now he follows very methodically through the description what he has witnessed, where the V2 fell down. He explains how military people, Germans, have been preparing for this type of testing. Always a plane would fly first in the direction where the rocket would go. Then when the rocket exploded and fell down, shortly the Germans would come and collect every single piece all over. This description will repeat itself in that book several times.
And you also mentioned
now,
about the radio.
Yes, about the radio. I think about the radio we can say later on, because there are some even coming. But for the record, let's put it that way. That also they noticed that the Germans, prior to actual firing, would pass the orders on the radio. Now, the book goes through rather very methodical explanation of tie-ups, organizationally, family-wise, and puts a lot of names, a lot of people, their contributions. Although this is a personal story of that individual, he does not claim the merits of everything. He ties only of all of the people who were tied together in that group. Very interesting that in that work also the priests were involved very heavily.
In witnessing the firing.
In witnessing and recognizing.
Now, on page 150 now.
I am at the page 150 and I am approaching to the 37th first part after explosion. I am approaching to 38. First inside information which came from the Germans, that inside the Blizna took place a considerable explosion. in which about 23 soldiers, German soldiers, were killed. It ties up with the information that later on is given in the book of Mr. W. Lay, where Mr. von Braun is mentioned as only 13 or 14 people killed. On I will go now to item.
That was an explosion of a B-2, did it say what it was?
Explosion of B-2 inside the... Mm-hmm. Continuation of 38, in a sense that it gives an information that that police, criminal police, which have quite a lot of Poles in their ranks, have been also penetrated by underground, and one of the persons who had the right to walk over the Polygon territory . And this is the man who has confirmed through German SS about casualties in that explosion. Now we'll go to item 39, first penetration inside Blizna camp.
What page is that?
This is on page 152. The report is from Mr. Bolesław Mikoś from Krakow. He was working as an architect technician in the Vienna company called Hermann Otte. That firm received the drawings referred to this camp. Reasoner. And they received strict instruction that the whole world is secret. The project that they would be involved in was defined as a need to construct a building similar to the tower. The base, 5 by 5 meters, about 12 to 15 meters high. And he quotes that this is, he quotes these values from memory. He gives further the details of that inside.
That was, what structure was this?
Architectural, the building.
For what purpose?
He only assumes that by the description of the and shape of it, that would store a rocket. He explains that into this tower a little curve from the railway, rather narrow railway, would go in. The shape of the building indicates that the object handle would be standing about 11 meters up and 1.5 meter diameter, and the shape would be tapering towards the top. Shortly after his first deduction, he has received the permission to go into Blizna as an employee of that supposed Vienna company. Outside of construction of that his tower, as he was describing before, he gave the information about construction of the huge building 15 by 50 meters.
15?
15 by 50 meters.
It's another building.
About 100, yeah, 100 meters away from the place where they put his tower. Into this assembly building, a railway was going in. So, during the second visit to that camp, he noticed first time the firing pad. The pad was very carefully camouflaged by means of net in the branches of the tree. He noticed a massive plate, empty. Nothing was on top of it. These plates were connected through the narrow railway to the tower and the assembly building. So it looks like that assembly, they kept keeping the rocket repairs, pulled it on the railway, on the platform, they were ready to go. All this information was transferred to the underground, and it was delivered through the French to another area, not in that area, because we did not know any Poles in there. So it was delivered about 100 kilometers to the east in the city of Yaroslav. See, this is the difficulty.
So he wasn't working
who
with
trusts
him?
Who in such a place?
Yeah, he wasn't working with the local resistance.
He came from Krakow.
Okay.
He couldn't convey the information. In Krakow, maybe they were not interested, but his buddy, his friend in Yaroslav, had contact already, so somehow he learned and he conveyed all that information to them. The same way one fellow later on, I will show, talked with the soldier, German soldier, and he drew him a rocket and told him what stages that they consist of, how they do it, what they do it, called it the revenge arm, what they are going to do with it. And he kept that on the pad, and that fella took that pad and delivered that to us. Although he was not a member of us. Things like that. Now we are coming to item 40, which is report made by the commander Aka, Colonel Iranek Osmetsky. Hello. As it was stated before, all the different channels of information were ending up in the main office of the resistance under the command of Colonel K. Iranek Osmetsky. The information covered the period of November-December. They knew, the report that we know what's going on in there, but we do not have the details, what purpose, what size. We are definitely sure about importance by the behavior of German troops. He refers to contradictions. Some say that the V2, that the weapon looked like a fat cigar, another like a small plane, that it was V1 V2. Some had smaller or bigger plane detail. Mr. Iranek Osmetsky transferred all that information to the head of the investigation, Engineer A. Cotton. As this area became so important, some assistance were required for that purpose, but I will not quote the name. At the same time, they decided, outside of the local organization, to send their own agents into the area of Blizna. One other incident became very interesting. There was an accident at the square of Washington, and some Germans had been killed in it. It was important because Germans were staff members of the experimental base. Germans were mourning this accident very much. Who are the people? Does not say. Sometime in the middle of January 1944, about 16th of January, the improvement in German experiments took place, and some of the rockets flew over towards northeast direction. The orders were sent through the resistance organization to try to trace where do they go, where do they find. Before the information came from Lublin, it's a typical case. From that area came over a gentleman who was looking for somebody to talk in confidence. He was not a member of IAK, of Underground. Instead of talking with him directly, they sent other people just to make a casual talk. This was the man, owner of the neighbor of the owner of the house where one of those pilotless planes fell down. The explosion, according to it, was extensive. The amazing behavior of Germans was double suspicious, because in case of explosion, usually Germans arrested people. In that case, they did not arrest the people. On the spot, they paid for the damages, and on the spot, they were very polite and asked not to even talk about it. The more Germans were polite, the more suspicious it was, suppose. And that guy was trying to get in touch with Underground to convey all that information. Mm. But Underground, knowing all the tricks, wouldn't talk directly. So before they permitted him to meet proper people, there was considerable delay.
That's
where the difficulty is. That's why these people who took place in that, mm-hmm. you know, watching movies, spy movies.
Oh, it's nice. You have a beard, you have this, you have that. Mm-hmm.
But that fellow who is in the, and he's in the middle of trouble, mm-hmm. and needs a help, and he doesn't know about the next person. Mm-hmm. And that other person could help him, but he doesn't know who he's going to help. As a result, the worst of this type is extremely difficult, nervous-like. So here are those examples to build up more or less the atmosphere of the situation. For your purpose, maybe in the book, it's too much of a human side of it, where the feelings are involved. And the statement is that man who came from the Rejovice area, he considered the duty of the Pole to inform the resistance, as he didn't believe that the local authorities, mm-hmm. Underground authorities, would make use of that. He went to Warsaw to find, you know, you go to small office, he decided to go to the Warsaw, to the headquarters.
Yeah. How the hell did he do it then?
Well, that's the persistence. Mm-hmm. I tell you, when the doctor later on from Salnati, mm-hmm. used the car instead of leading other people to pass the pass to Warsaw, he was taking off his car and he was driving there. Very often he was that close to being caught. Well, this is a digression, which is not that important. 40.
Now, look at the map here. What map is
now, that? Now, we are coming now to 41, page 157.
Okay.
This is the map which shows all the areas of Poland where the rockets have been directed to. If you want me to,
yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, right. This is very important.
This map shows the firing pad, the areas where B1 and B2 fell down, without the distinction which one fell where. And it shows the direction of firing. It is not true, according to this author, of course, that the firing took only northeast direction.
Mm.
Whether the flight could deviate left and right, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But actual drops were farthest to the east, Rejovice, that's the area where that farmer decided to to go around and come to
the
towards. The main direction was
Sarnaki. That's up in the river above.
Right. Then there was one just east
of
Warsaw. Then there was...
Suvin.
Then one went into the area of Kielce and Radom.
Mm-hmm.
Another one...
What's the name
of that
town?
Konce. Okay. And another went as far as close as Czestochowa to the west.
Mm-hmm. That's
Czechoslovakia? Czestochowa. That's just like Lourdes for France, Czestochowa is for Poland.
I see. Now, to go back to the legend, we're on page 157. If you could translate the elements, the polygon is where the SS camp is.
Puskovlina. That's that square
right.
We were talking about.
Washington square, okay.
The black
circle?
The black circle, it indicates that on this polygon inside, it was a rocket base,
okay.
Then the fat black line, short segment, indicates the area where the B1
and
B2
landed. And the arrow is the direction of flight.
The arrow are the direction of flight.
Now, what is the source of this?
The source of it is military historical review.
Mm-hmm.
1966, number 8.
Yeah. It's not this one, is it?
No, that's not this. That's not this.
No, right.
That is a reference to this one.
Okay. Now, we don't know yet the width, the preferred direction of the V1s and V2s was.
Up to now. We don't know, but it will be Sarnaki direction.
Yeah, Sarnaki, right. Okay.
On the page 8, there are few examples of the resistance tricks used to defeat Germans as far as V2 parts are concerned. I don't know whether it's worthwhile to go into it, but very often when the parts were in the open field, the farmer would come with the plow and cover them with the earth. Germans would walk around, chase, but wouldn't find things.
They were
hidden under the ground. They were hidden in the products like potatoes. They were hidden in the hay. It was improvisation of the simple people in the simple area. They knew that they want to help the resistance to make use of that information. So, 43. It goes a little bit order in major depression to the Churchill memoirs, which states that in the middle of January 1944, new weapon was experimented in Poland. Poland very quickly established weapons range and the shape of the trajectory. However, the rockets have had a tremendous spread. One landed from another far apart. German patrols with the terrific speed tried to reach the explosion spot as soon as possible and make a thorough collection of the fragments of the pieces. End of chapter quote. Now, if we would like to have few original reports sent to London, where we have the number, the date, we have the source.
What's that, number 44?
This would be number 44. Then number 44, page 158, and it goes through 159. And it goes to 160 and 161.
Original report in London.
Original report with the number, for instance. Intelligence report number 159/473.
Where?
Item B. These originals this is MIDWIH.
MIDWIH.
Roman 3 -35-10, and then Roman number 3 -22-97. This is where these are taken from. Now this will be if I can take these abbreviations, Oiskove Institute Historicum. This is this one. This is the same source that we are quoting, that Oiskove Institute Historicum. That's a military historical institute. MID, that's an abbreviation that I'm not acquainted with.
We can write that.
Now, paragraph A is omitted as not related to it. Quote, in this report, the conversation between German SS officers was specified, was described. It indicated that all samples are only experimental, no. They were not armed fully with the explosives. He adds in that there were so far 5 firings on the 25th of November. The spot, the landing spots were Miriska, in the area of Miriska, destroyed 2 buildings in December, 3rd December. When the rocket landed, it created a terrible
Crater?
Crater.
How wide?
They say here 50 meters deep.
Deep?
50 meters wide, 15 meters deep.
No. Mm-hmm. 15 meters by 15. Yeah, they quote the picture. No, I think so.
Now, here are the information about the firing pan. They notice a rail, like guiding rail, established at 45 degrees.
Well, that's the V1.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But they, that's correct. How it comes. Then they are talking about the special tube of 1.8 meter diameter and about 6 meter length, 4 pressure vessels, 5 meter by 1.5 meter. The vessels where they were, had electric. Well, this is now in the same report referring to the they had another report which refers to some German instruction in case something happens to this wagon on the when in transit on the railway, notify Berlin. The importance, they learned about that. They give here information that those weapons are being produced in Dora camp. And these are the reports which went to London. Now next report is number 139-397 of February 25, 1944. This is the same source and the same number. It is very good information about Dora. They are located close to Buchenwald, near Weimar. They assemble the rocket. The rockets are 12 meters long, 1.8 meter in diameter. The other version is 20 meter long. It is constructed from the light material called TOHL, T-O-H-L. It is loaded with some glass material, like those first vessels maybe, glass material with the strange liquid and small amount of explosives. At the end of December, they have produced in Dora 100 V2s. The chemists working on this project work in special uniforms and have gas masks, sometimes in the lead covered chamber. The weapon itself has the shape of the tube supported at 45 degrees, and they say to fire it up, supposedly compressed air would be used. This was in another report. Now there is also reference to different companies which they learn produce parts of it, but I don't know if this goes beyond the scope. This is that's around 46, 43, 44, and 46. This is explanation about Doran, Mittelbau, that's the constant of that part. So they gave the names, in this part they gave the names of the company, their location, and the type of product they are making. Like, for instance, Tunnel Lara produced noses, Camp Dora bodies and assembly, Camp Regal Zilte or Schlier, that's another Kirtland, liquid oxygen. Then when it was bombed, it was moved to Linz, Nordhaus. So this is just brief abbreviation of that. Now we'll go to 47 page 170. This is a long description of all these things, what did happen, but we'll jump to 47. 170.
Okay.
These are few comments made by von Braun about G1 and G2 production. I don't know whether you...
Where did he make them, I wonder?
He made them in U.S.
Yeah, well, they
did
like
not
that.
Go over. This was when the Dora problem was investigated in Germany. So the statement refers... The statements were given in the British in the German consulate, and after leaving the building, maybe von Braun stated to the press, "My conscience is clear. I don't have anything in common with this affair," that is referring to Dora. He supposedly had stated also that he had heard about the detection of the prisoners in the camp where the rockets were assembled. And he had heard also that mainly there were Poles and French in there. He paraphrases this, I won't go into it, I will go into 48, which is a quick reference to what British knew at that time, because it follows up later on. In the August of 1943, British did get information from German officers about the V1 pilotless plane and V2. He has indicated that the production took place all over the Germany, and that the firing parts will be located in Le Havre and Cherbourg. In 48, it refers to French information, which says that the rocket has about 500 kilometers range. It starts vertically and reaches about 80 kilometers in the highest peak. The information was also given who is the chief of the German group, Colonel Bach. Now, the comment here in the quote 49 indicates that already in September 1943, Mr. von Braun considered the development of A4 completed. The longest range achieved was 287.5 kilometers. At the same time, it was reported that V1 was completed. In 1943, the importance of that Kuznetsov experimentation was underlined by the visit of Himmler.
Himmler now, when was Himmler there?
Himmler at the end of September 1943.
The blue
mm-hmm. And I think D. Irving states about that also. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's number what? That number again?
50.
Okay. 50. 170. What page is it?
173. Okay. As the description of the 50, it is the description of Lombard getting the town close to the Kuzma area. I already mentioned about it. Let's go to 52 because this is getting slow. Now, in quote 52-176, it refers to the map of the Kuzma area. Those maps have fallen into the hands of Polish underground, and now they are the documents in the Military Historical Institute, and the item is Roman 3-35-8. These are the maps in scale 1 to 1,000. The first map they have received was by borrowing a map from a German soldier for 2,000 zlotys and of course not returning it. The photocopies were made, reproductions were made, and from that point on underground had detailed information about the area. 52.
That's a map of the interior of the building.
That's right. Showing where the different location of buildings and industrial complexes are.
Well, that map is in existence today.
Yes.
It's only at that historical institute.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I want to get.
And there are several maps in the scale of 1 to 1,000, 1 to 100,000, and 25,000. These are now we, I think, should make a comment about the table presented on the page 178, which shows the date, the hour, the definition of the flight of the V2 fired, or say rocket fired from Lisbon. The first one was dated November 25th, 1943. Mm-hmm. The last one on this table, about 2 o'clock, the flight mm-hmm. was stopped.
And then comment.
Comment.
You have three trades, you have, what's this here?
The flight, long, short.
Ah, okay, so we have, let's repeat that. We have three columns here. We have the flight number, or the sequence number, the date, the time,
flight
range, the left column short, right column long. That was
left column long,
right column short. Okay, okay, good.
And for instance, the first ones have been of three first ones very short.
Sure. Now what
and
does that mean?
Where the description here is where they fell down.
Where they fell down, in the right hand column.
Nidic, Kolbuchova, the first one, Kierunek Kolbuchova. Kolbuchova, the first one, Kierunek Kolbuchova, that's first one.
Kierunek, what's this name?
Kierunek, direction.
Oh, so they landed Nidic in the direction of Kolbuchova.
Yes. Second and third one were in the same direction.
Okay.
Now the fourth one, and Germans were very methodical firing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth one, they don't know where, because they were from that area. They say possibly close to Sandomir. Another one west of Sokolov.
They think.
They think.
Yeah. So that takes care of 4, 5, 6, and 6.
7, the direction was not given.
Direction not given. 8.
8 fell into the Blizna. That
right near the camp.
Floated right into the camp.
9, 10, 11
don't have the direction. The 13.
How about 12?
12 does not have anything.
Okay.
The 13, very close to Blizna again.
13, right.
14 went west.
Went west.
15, 16, and up to the 20th, it fell, the flight was short and it fell in the region of Nidus. There's a repetitive failure in the same area. 21st, report here says that it goes in the direction southeast. But there is no, on the map, they don't show any flight in that direction. 22nd,
no comment.
23rd and 24th again fell in the vicinity of Nidus.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait, we're wrong here. Oh, that's correct. 22, there's no comment.
22, no comment.
23, no comment. 24.
24. This is written such a way that you put a line and then you see that.
See?
Yeah.
23.
So 24, yeah. Again, Nidus.
Yeah. And 25.
25, 26, not.
No. That's it. Let's go back here.
It could be that.
Yeah, 25 also, presumably. 24, 25.
Will be that.
Nidus, yeah.
26, no comments except the fire in the second place. 27, the direction not given. How do you say that? This is in the middle. 28, fall close to Stave Kolbuchova. It's again the same area.
Okay, so what's the source of that? Is that just an underground report?
This is what they have in these reports, and they are written in here, but then they are tabulated.
Okay. So these are based on the time intelligence reports?
That's correct.
Is there any particular person that made them? I wonder, what is this? Who's this fellow here?
Vishnevsky. Okay, where is he? 26, where is he?
It's up here.
Yeah, okay. This was done, the tabulation was done by Colonel Magister Vishnevsky. Yes.
M.
Vishnevsky, 26. I think all the reports and he can summarize that. Now he goes 65. Again, there are mentioned here some arrests, some broken threads in the underground position, but despite all this, the work was carried on, so I will not go into any more detail. Now we go into the next area of the story. It is Taranaki and the country around.
Okay, from the 56.
This starts on the page 180. Not until April 1944, Taranaki was even mentioned in relation to the rocket. As early as winter 1943, here I would like also to make one explanation. The report given had this difficulty also. Why there is no date, why there is no hour. You don't carry days and hours written on a piece of paper. If you plan to see your commanding officer in there, you will say, I have seen that last week. Mm-hmm. But it may or may not be tied to the date and hour.
Yeah.
Right. Here they say again, in winter 1943, first report came about Germans intending to move the population out of Czarnak area, especially in the area located north of the village. On this territory, supposedly the Germans wanted to make a target area for planes. The report was immediately transferred to Worthing. The order received requested to define and make the sketch of the area of that Air Force polygon and start observing the area. Again, it enters into all explanation of the organization. Explanation how they were going into the living in one place, hiding in another place, and sleeping from one place to another, but I don't think we should go into that one. 57, 58. 58 is interesting. First information received about arrival of special German troops into the Czarnaki area was delivered by J. Fischer, who, talking with Captain Heinrich, a German, that special Wehrmacht troops will come over and protect the area of the polygon. The in charge of that group would be Lieutenant Schroeder. That information confirmed very shortly. About 40 people came in. Schroeder became the commanding man, and whole school buildings was occupied. They were equipped with the guns, radio station, tracks, personal cars, and other things. Immediately following that investigation and confirmation of the learned details, in the middle of April 1944, around 14 o'clock in the afternoon, in the area of Menzenin, close to the river Bug, took place a terrific explosion. Out of this first explosion, already underground, picked up few odd pieces of the rocket, including the fluid, little container with fluid. And he says what surprised them, that fluid, after it's in contact with air, would burn even the rock. That was just
a magnet on it.
Yeah.
What is the map?
Now we'll be coming to this map in the second hour. This is I can jump over because I will lose some record parts. On the page 183 we have a map showing Czarnaki and the area around Czarnaki. This map uses a legend which defines the explosion. The areas where the rocket landed are marked up in the shape of first one. The second one with the swastika insignia on it refers to the German troop location. The next one is radio station used by soldiers, and the triangle with one half black, this is a location of the underground army command. Now we can see in here that the rocket landed close to Bihau, close to Cusco, top and below, later at Lipno. Carnacki had a command post of Germans, a radio station, and command of Polish resistance. This map was taken from the Military Historical Review, 1966, number 2. Now the interesting report given to the underground by one man who talked with the sergeant, German sergeant, belonging to the troops in that area. The assignment of these troops were to report the explosion of the places where the rocket landed and to collect the parts. The soldier, the sergeant, after consumption of a lot of beer, started to talk that these rockets come from the direction of Mielce. This is a revenge weapon, Elgesungswaffe. The rocket will be sent to England. They are produced in the area of Stettin, so they fell to human origin. On a piece of white paper, he sketched with a pencil a rocket. According to it, the rocket consisted of four parts. First, starting from the top, there was some amount of explosive. It is given, it is placed in there for the purpose of telling Germans where it fell down. The second part was a guidance chamber. The third one was for the explosive. And the fourth one was a steering chamber. He called here explosive for the material Vibuchova, that explosive chamber.
I don't remember the propulsion chamber, something like that.
In here he is definitely calling that for the material, explosive material.
No. What is it called, the first one?
The first one is exploratory explosives for the purpose of identifying where that rocket fell down. It was not a complete load of explosives, it was small, big enough to permit tracking Germans to find out. There is a small reference that within April and May 1944, in the area of Carnacki, about 60 rockets fell down. The information I quoted a few minutes ago came from Jay Kiesel. Unfortunately, he was arrested. Everybody was scared, in the organization that he may give in under the structure. Neither he or his assistant spell any name or details about the rock. 63, a report given by a doctor. Now, here comes a lengthy report given by a doctor who used to be a military doctor, but then after the September campaign, he served in a local hospital which took care also of German personnel. Now, being in touch with these people, he was given certain privileges, and one of the important privileges was a car and a free pass permitting him to go any place in this area, including Warsaw.
He was in a hospital where, in Sarmaty?
He was the, to make sure, the name, Dr. V. Nepokoya.
Where was he?
In Chedelka. Chedelka, this is the from Sarnaki, Chedelka is southeast of southwest of Sarnaki.
We may
find out from another.
I'll write it.
Yes. Wait a second. Sure. Wait a second.
So he was in Seattle, so he had these privileges.
He had those privileges. Yeah. He had a car. And I'll follow it. His own comments. He was responsible to others also. So instead of going through this thing, and maybe describe a few things that I remember of it.
Okay, that's fine.
Because for brevity's sake, it is rather better to do this thing. Now, this doctor has been in continuous touch with German soldiers. He has also taken care of some family sicknesses. As a result, he would hear from them unrelated comments tied to the purpose what the German troops are doing over there. So when first rocket started to fall in the vicinity of Sarnaki, he already was well prepared for it. Now, the information that was gathered by the underground in that area was difficult to store any place because there was a penalty clause for finding anything from the rocket or taking anything from the site. As a result, the most difficult part to organize transfer of these parts to Warsaw was arranged through this doctor. He willingly was taking his part to bury him, and he would, under the pretext of going for the medicine, then getting special orders for the Germans, he would drive to Warsaw, deliver to the proper place, and would go back. Now, one particular case, he was in, he had Gyro inside, he had other people in, and he was traveling to Warsaw. He passed the bridge, the Prague bridge. He was stopped by SS with the guns at him and unusual resistance. And what happened that day, the chief, German chief, was killed in work. And that was a coincidence. So they came up, told him, hand the host, that means up hand, and intended to proceed with the revision, with the complete checkup of his staff. So, in a situation like that, man knew what it meant, so he used any sort of trick. And he said, since when Germans are going to attack a defenseless medical man, doctor, who does service to Germans? So they dropped the gun, they asked for the papers, and he showed them, this recent piece of paper, he had all the three justified. And then it was written that he goes for the German personnel to bring medicine. So they let him pass through. They thought that he was one of the experts. And this was only 1 street away from the delivery point, how close he was. Now I go to quote 64, 65 on page 198, which gives the information about 4th of May, about additional parts which have been collected. That Poole Underground had a problem where to store all these pieces brought in.
Mm-hmm. Where did they store them?
Oh, they stored them in all possible places, and was invented just as they could. 66.
65 is what?
65, it was descriptions of parts collected in the area, and they mentioned about the radios, they mentioned about the gyros and the plastic parts. Page 190 is another reference to the doctor's report. 190-6. And here it reminded me something else, that that doctor, although taken in Kedulce, he would travel to Darnaki with his car. Sometimes it was necessary to make two trips in a row to deliver the parts. One trip, for instance, had a gyroscope, another one a radio. The one that British so much after.